Hello and welcome to Bobo and Joe Show, your Mile High Nerd Culture Podcast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Bobo.
How's it going, Bobo?
It's going pretty well. I mean, for the end of the world and whatnot.
Yes, it is December 21st, 2012, so the supposed end of the Mayan calendar.
Ooh.
Doom and gloom and hellfire shall open up and swallow us all.
You know,
or we'll all listen to this, you know, at some point after this, and it's going to be fine.
I'm sorry, but I hope I'm not alone when I think that I was expecting to see Galactus appear out of the sky.
I was hoping.
You know, like something, a giant hand.
Did you get that picture that I sent you?
I did.
<That's dope.
laughs> I was like, my dream. I saw this coming.
Oh,
just
fuck.
Too real.
Yeah, fucking, that's fucked up.
But no. All right, so today on the set, we have Jersey Sean with us.
Friend of the show, Jersey Sean. Woo!
Hey!
All right, Sean.
What up, Sean? How's it going, man?
It's going all right, for it being the apocalypse and all.
Yeah. Actually, I expected it to be warmer.
Very calm.
For the apocalypse, yeah.
Too.
You know, much more chaotic. I'm kind of
bummed out. Screaming here and there.
Yeah, no screaming at all.
Flames shooting up out of the ground.
No revelation.
A gunfire.
Earthquakes, winds, something.
Nibiru.
Coming down out the galaxy.
You know, at the very least, you could, like, change the color of the sky or something. I don't know. It doesn't even have to be the end of the world. It could be the end of the world as we know it.
Or the polar shifts. Polar shifts. We forgot to mention polar shifts.
Polar shifts. None of that came.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out. I was really hoping for something to happen.
Right.
You know what this is? This is motherfucking Mayan Y2K.
Pretty much.
You know what? Because I prepared for Y2K. Well, not really. I didn't really prepare. I was just like...
Just
you know,
I
was like looking out the window like, you know, had bottled water, had canned goods and shit. And I was looking out the window like, is motherfuckers shooting each other yet? No?
I think Y2K was like more of a response. There were like people lining up for getting gas and stuff. There were lines in gas stations and things cleared off the shelves in stores and things like that. I didn't see any of that this time around. I think that the shock factor is kind of worn off on people with the kind of movies that people watch or that we're all exposed to, or, you know, even going through Y2K where it was a big scare and turned out to not be much of anything. That was just one thing.
Right.
But well, with this whole 2012 thing, I mean, there are multiple angles, different facets where people are scared of 2012. There are a lot of different reasons. Everybody's got their reason that they're scared for, I guess.
Right, and like, I don't know, I think this has kind of affected somewhat a large amount of people, actually, and they panicked in their own way. Like, millionaires bought, like, these underground mansions, like, built into the ground itself, like, so
that's
many feet
neat
under.
To have anyway.
Yeah, that is kind of neat.
And didn't Bill Gates, didn't he? He has, like, a rocket ready for his family. Yeah.
And where's it going to go to? What's the destination?
The moon.
Krypton.
He's going
to
go to
the moon. Does he already got like a little
I hear
like
he
Martian
has something
can,
built up
condo
there.
On the moon?
Yeah,
Bill,
I heard
Bill
he has
Gates
something
is,
built up there.
Bill Gates' son will be superpowered under a red sun.
Again, though, this is not a credible news source. So.
We are not a credible news source here on the Bobo and Joe Show.
I'd like to make that very clear.
I know where I'm going to go with Google later.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think that, you know, people are kind of just desensitized in general, you know, like, they have so much going on in their day-to-day that they don't really have time for the end of the world.
Like, the end of the world's coming, that's really bad timing, you know, I can't do Friday.
I got a car payment, it's like due, like, the next week, so yeah, no, I can't do
I wonder
that.
How many people have been, like, slacking on their bills just to, like, you know...
They're like, eh, the end of the world's coming.
The end of the world's coming. How long can I wait on this? Because if it's the end of the world, like, it's a 50-50 chance I don't have to pay this bill, because...
I like those odds.
That's more liquor for the end of the world party we're going to later, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Motherfuckers are gonna be, like, running up their platinum cards and shit.
Right.
I mean, all...
They're
all
disappointed today, all day long. They were just, like, very nervous, biting their fingers. Nails. And, it's like a $1,200 bill.
Shit. Hurry up and end world. Fuck it, I'm just going to blow my brains out.
But I mean, all's not an end. They said possibility of it being on the 23rd or the 24th. So the end of the world may still come yet.
Slightly delayed.
It was like, it was different calculations of the calendar, and that was just the most common like prediction. What's it was going to be today?
There's some interesting aspects of that calendar, though. I don't know. There's
I'll say this: people have been predicting the end of the world for thousands of years. Okay, it didn't happen yet, and it's not going to happen. You know, probably not in any of our lifetimes. You know, if eventually some shit goes down, it'll probably be like long after humans have gone extinct as a species, anyway. So.
Well, there are of the many facets of the 2012 phenomena, you know, there is the whole consciousness shift aspect that some people talk about or know about that...
I've heard of this.
You know, something where maybe not something cataclysmic is going to happen or, you know, crazy and life-changing for everyone, you know, it might be something where...
The network.
It's a shift of consciousness, yeah.
Yeah, the consciousness network of the human race, like,
oh, man.
Takes a step up.
That's
what
its own
some
novel.
People think, but yeah, I mean, that's
so people are just becoming like calmer and calmer about this every time.
But you know, I don't know. I mean, if you keep predicting the end of the human race and the end of the world,
people
and everything
are
going to
get
like
tired
that,
of it.
Well, no, eventually you'll be right though. But by
I
that
guess
point, no
so
one
you're
will
dead
care.
By then.
Everyone will be like,
and there's evidence
whatever.
To suggest
it's
that
imminent
human
death.
Civilization has risen and fallen before. You know,
nothing I can do to avoid it. Why would you want to avoid it? Is my question. Like, how many of you are honestly going to survive in the first place? It doesn't matter if you're filthy rich on top of that. Mm. Like, you don't have anyone to work for you. Like,
yeah.
Utterly pointless.
Yeah, no. Well, if your family survive, how are you going to repopulate?
Exactly.
Well, honestly, I was hoping for some
if
kind of infrastructure crash.
Yeah, no.
That would be kind of cool.
Because, you know, there are a lot of people that are out there that, you know, I don't know if they consider themselves, you know, privy to the right survival skills or whatever, but,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I mean, a lot of people's jobs survive on, you know, like your job, for example, a lot of the jobs that I like to take in my particular field, you know, it's one of those things where everything crashes with the infrastructure. That job really doesn't hold a lot of weight anymore. There's not a lot of importance of that job because there are a lot of jobs that are out there in society right now that it's a lot of people working to get one thing done or one person a lot of money or one group of people a lot of money, and that's all that's going on with it. And if power went down and the internet went down and, you know, phone lines went down, if an infrastructure crash really happened, what are those people are gonna do, you know? And for me, I like to do
I'm
a lot of different
easily
things.
Two-thirds of the population dies inside of the first 2 weeks.
Right.
Possibility.
You know.
Goes homeless.
It's gonna be people who
other.
Have multiple skills that can do a lot of different things that actually would lend to civilization in the event that something like that happened. Can you fix
like
things?
The
can
farmer,
things
the fisherman, the person that can fix mechanical objects, mm-hmm. things like that, yeah. You hear that, kids? When the end of the world comes, have a marketable
have a trade.
Skill.
Have a trade.
You know, your hobby of knitting a blanket today could be, you know,
surviving
what gets
a
you
cold, harsh winter.
Yeah, it could be what gets you bacon in the apocalypse.
I'd trade a blanket for some bacon.
Dude, I hope there's bacon in the apocalypse.
If it's anywhere near as hard as to find a Twinkie in Zombieland, then we're in trouble. I don't know, bacon might become so scarce that I don't know how that's going to work out.
Might have some mutated pigs. Mutated pig bacon.
Mm.
Yeah.
It'll be like, good, who knows? I don't know.
It might taste like 500% more bacon-y.
The new generation won't care.
It'll be like Demolition
Man. That's the bacon they're growing up with, you know?
Remember Demolition Man where they were like down in the underground In the sewers, and he was eating the burger.
This is a rat burger.
Pretty good rat, I guess. I don't know.
This is the best damn burger like, I've had all day.
You don't see any cows around here, do you?
Well, actually, I didn't see any cows.
That's how it's going to be, man.
No, that's a bad day.
Yeah, that sounds like bad action.
Not cool. What else you got, Bobo?
You know, I think we might move on to homework assignments.
Homework assignments? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, just as a real quick preface for my homework assignment, we had last discussed watching Claymore, but that is not on Netflix currently.
Oh, those bastards.
And so we had to have a behind-the-scenes shift of the homework assignment since I am broke and have not the means to just run out and go buy Claymore in its entirety to watch that shit.
It's cheap.
And I'm not going to torrent it because, you know, people work hard for their art and, you know, don't be stealing their shit.
We follow the rules.
Ish. But, so I was assigned Blood Plus, a series based off of Blood the Last Vampire, which was an awesome anime movie. Not such a great live-action movie, if you've ever seen it.
That was awful.
Yeah, no, it's not bueno at all. But the series is pretty cool. We join the heroine of the story, Saya, a few years after the incidents that occurred in the first movie. And she is being compelled back into her vampire hunting ways from this idyllic kind of family life. And, you know, she was adopted because she's eternally a 16-year-old girl.
She is such a badass.
She is a badass, though. She breaks out that sword and shit gets bad for the demons.
Yeah. Pretty shitty after that.
But they're not exactly like vampires. She is a vampire.
Definitely.
But none of the things that she's fighting are vampires.
Yeah, they're just demonic monsters, really.
Yeah, they're blood-drinking monsters. And that, I don't know, it's pretty cool so far, though.
It's an interesting take on it, though, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bloodsuckers, nonetheless.
And it's also neat, as an aside, because, you know, it takes place in I guess what, like Vietnam era? Or I guess after Vietnam era.
Yeah, I think slightly afterwards.
And they talk about the war and everything kind of from the Japanese people's perspective when, you know, America was using Okinawa as a staging point to go and go into Vietnamese and, I guess, Asian territory. And, yeah, pretty interesting. Good story so far. I'm about halfway through the first season. This, unlike Darker Than Black, has, 12 to 18 episodes, I would say, per season.
Yeah.
So
It's pretty long running.
Yeah, so I'm working my way through it. It's good stuff so far. And you had your homework assignment, Bobo. Why don't you rap with the listeners about this?
Yeah, I read Marvel Dead Days, and that was, I covered that, and
Marvel Zombies Dead Days, yep.
Yeah, and then Marvel Zombies 2, I, of course, covered that. Now, I'm reading now Zombies 3 and 4.
You are currently reading those?
I have read those, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so, now that you have read pretty much the whole Marvel Zombies series to date, I mean, there's a few things, like, they do have some other ones that I don't have yet, such as Versus Army of Darkness, as I've mentioned before. I also do not have Marvel Zombies Return, which is a new one, I guess. And they also have Marvel Zombies Supreme, which is what you can get at a drive-through window at 2 a.m. well, actually, no, it takes place in the Squadron Supreme universe, which is a little offshoot of the of Marvel. It's really long and involved. If you're interested in it, just, you know, wiki Squadron Supreme, and you can learn about Marvel's attempt to pretty much rip off the Justice League character for character. I have like a Superman character, a Wonder Woman character, like a Batman-like character,
that's
an
really
Aquaman
cool.
character, a Flash character. It's pretty interesting.
Dang, I really want to get into that.
Yeah, it was a series that I believe was started in the 80s, possibly the 70s, but I'm pretty sure it was the 80s. And actually, as you you will eventually come across the Exiles and, as a homework assignment, and you will meet Hyperion, or a not very nice version of Hyperion. Spoilers. he's kind of a dick. Have Sean, you've been reading the Exiles. Have you run across Hyperion yet?
There are so many different variations of different characters in the Exiles that it just, like, makes my head spin. They'll, like, go to, you know, different dimensions where there are different versions of the Marvel characters, and there'll be, like, a skinny, crazy Wolverine, and then there'll be this really beefcake, dumb Wolverine, and then there'll be, like, a really smart, intelligent, and calm Wolverine. There'll be, like, a Spider-Man character that is part of the Avengers, and then there'll be one where, you know, he's part of, you know, so he's like some villainous character in a couple of the different dimensions, so it's hard for me to like follow where all of it's going. And then one of the characters that's in the main group of characters has like what is it, like four or five different Marvel characters' powers.
Oh, Mimic, yeah.
Mimic, yeah.
He can duplicate five powers, but at like one half the level,
potential.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one half the potential.
He's got like Cyclops, Wolverine, I'm trying to think of all of the different powers that he's had.
Does he have wings right now or no?
Yeah, that's from the beginning. He had the wings from the beginning. He had Colossus's powers. He had Wolverine, Cyclops, and then there's one more that I'm not covering.
The wings, yeah, from Angel.
Well, that's the first one.
Oh, that's the first
that I
one.
Mentioned.
Okay.
I don't know, but it's a lot to kind of absorb, you know. I had to like read through it slowly, so I made sure. But once I picked the first one up, you know, I ended up going right through them, and then I wanted the next two, and now I've been sitting on the next two.
Yeah, you're on what issues? Or I'm sorry, the trade paperbacks like 5 and 6.
I believe so. Both of them have Wolverine on the front.
Okay, yeah, no, that dude, shit gets pretty hardcore with the fucking Exiles, man. But
people drop off and they just get replaced, and it just happens like this, and you're like, wait, what? This happened in two pages. It just changes everything, you know, because this one character gets injured or gets killed or
isn't able to continue.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I hate to try and, you know, to spoil it if I do, but you know.
The Exiles has been out for a while. Sorry if it spoils it for you. It's still a good read. We're not, you know, wrecking entire
plot
lines.
If you're
kind
of getting tired of like the same old, or you want something new, I mean, it was kind of refreshing to go through, you know, what I've been through so far reading it, because it's just a different take, different kind of a story to what's going on, and it can go in any different direction. There are like so many different directions it can go, because each of these different places, they'll go somewhere, and it's like, you know, Professor X is where the problem is, and they have to like kill Professor X, and it's like, what? And you just keep reading because you want to see where it's going to go, and it never goes to where you expect it's going to go. And I've appreciated that. It keeps coming up like that, where it's like you're thinking, okay, I can see where this is going to go. They're telegraphing, they're going to go this way, and then it goes off in left field, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what happened there? You know?
Nice.
Yeah. Exiles is sick. That'll definitely be a homework assignment at some point in the future for you.
Oh, man.
Lay down some Marvel Zombies for us.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, alright, so after the Fantastic Four got teleported, you know, in safety, and then Magneto did his badass zombie-killing skills and whatnot, he, like, blew up the lab before he, like, went off and destroyed more zombies. And, you know, he goes, finds the fugitives, slowly they all get picked off, including Magneto, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But the, like, eons later, the asteroid comes down that Magneto was, like, originally on. But he caused this bullshit, didn't he?
No, he didn't cause this bullshit.
I mean, it was kind of his fault, though.
You know, things happen. Hey, if you're gonna play the world domination game, you know
shit's
what?
Shit's gonna go down.
Yeah, no, you gotta break a few eggs to make the omelet, okay? I'm just saying.
He broke a lot of eggs and made a shitty omelet.
He made a shitty omelet. There were zombies in that omelet.
So,
that's a bad omelet.
We find out that, you know, Ant-Man, you know, he's keeping Panther, Black Panther, as, like, his, like, low supply of feeding, I suppose.
Yeah, he's like a bag of beef jerky.
Yeah, he's keeping him alive, and he, like, comes back and, like, tears off, like, a leg or something every now and again. But keeps him alive, because he needs, you know, fresh meat. And,
Sounds twisted and demented.
It's super twisted, like, all your heroes are zombies. They're flesh-eating zombies, and, like, they crave the hunger. Like, they want to eat people.
Yeah, it owns their face.
It really does.
They own your face.
And, yeah, after they get a... Panther.
After Panther.
alright, so Black Panther ends up eventually escaping from, their clutches after, in the midst of the Galactus battle.
Yeah, he sneaks.
Because, all the heroes are having to deal with Galactus wanting to come and eat their Earth. And, it ends up being quite the contrary. They end up, like, finding a way to take him down, and then they started eating him. They ate Galactus, the World Eater. And, gained
his... He didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no. That was, of course, after Silver Surfer got his head chomped off by Hulk.
This sounds like the next thing I'm gonna read.
This is great. It is amazing. It's so fun.
And then you, okay, so you went through the Panther story.
Yes. Oh, keep in mind, the main zombies that ate Galactus get powers.
And
so
they're
like badass planetary zombies now. Interstellar, I guess.
Intergalactic zombies.
Galactic zombies now. And,
They're expanding.
Yeah, it's going all over the place now.
The comet comes down to, like, come for Magneto, because it's Magneto's team. And, among that team is Forge. What a badass.
Forge has, like, a super badass mutant power. As far as mutant powers go, man, like, in this world, this non-apocalyptic world, that's fucking
the
power
shit.
Set to have. He's a mutant that can build any machine for any purpose. He just has, like, the mutant power to conceptualize it and figure out how to make it, and
that's my
he just
kind
makes
of,
it.
It's just my kind
smart.
Of action right there.
Yeah, he's like the Thomas Edison mutant.
And they come down, they find Black Panther, and Black Panther is all, like, missing a leg, I think a hand, right? No, he's still got both his hands.
Yeah, he's still got both of his hands, but he's all jacked up.
He's pretty beat up, you know, because he's been getting eaten slowly. But he has Wasp with him. He has Wasp's head, who is a zombie, of course.
Zombie Wasp's.
And Wasp is like this because Ant-Man bit his wife Wasp's head off and spit it out. Because zombies can't eat other zombies because the taste is just foul. It's just the foulest thing in the world to them. And so they can't
as
eat
one
each
could
other.
Imagine.
And the main problem of this, of course, is just finding food. Like, they crave it so much that they're, like, they're doing anything to find it. And so after the Panther gets picked up by the comet, they take him in along with the head. And they're like, oh, shit, we'll get you fixed up. You know, Forge
hooks him up with a badass prosthesis.
Yeah.
So he can walk around without
and,
a cane.
And they have the doctor on there. I can't remember his name. The scientist.
Oh, shit.
He was able to hook Wasp up pretty damn awesome. Gave her an android body. And then put her head in, like, a jar. You know, so
like
she can't
Futurama
fight
style.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, and so that goes off by itself. Then it follows on with the Galactus zombies, you know, the inherited powers, which is Iron Man, Hulk, Spider-Man,
Power Man, Luke Cage.
Power Man, Luke Cage.
Wolverine.
I think
that's it. Hulk.
I thought I mentioned Hulk. Dang. Yeah, Hulk. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Terrassing through the galaxy. They
reckon
yeah,
shit. They're literally going through the galaxy, like, looking for other planets to eat, so they eat the Skrull. They eat, like, some random-ass foreign alien planet you don't even know about, because that's just how far out they are. Like, they've been scouring for, like, weeks, months, years, just flying through to find planets and eat them.
It's like the ultimate thing to be scared about is zombies.
Right. Just, especially with, like, Galactus powers, so they're able to shoot beams, too, if they need to.
It just unmakes the sandwich.
And they fly. All
everything
of them fly.
Until everything is done or zombie. And
right.
That's
and,
it.
And then, see, they're not, like, infecting, though. They're just eating them, like, entirely. They don't want to infect people. They want to just eat them.
So the infection isn't as much of a counterpart as the zombie story usually follows.
Right. Like, at first it starts out like that because, like, all of the superheroes and supervillains, like, super mutants, just mutants in general, I guess, superpowered beings, they're all being affected.
Well, they're the ones that are, you know,
they're
the most powerful.
They're being targeted.
So, like, they're surviving getting turned into zombie.
They still have
and
some of their
so
powers.
So they're undead at that
powers.
Point, and they have their powers, and they're
that's
going
like absolute corruption
people.
Of the species.
Yeah.
Just be zombie, and that's it, eventually.
Yeah, that's what they run into. They have a problem where they basically have no food anymore. And
this is why they're scouring the planet and one of the
some
galaxy.
Vampire movies that work out that way, too.
Yeah.
I've heard that plot line in Vampire and Zombie now.
Yeah, that Ethan Hawke movie. I forget that what the name of it was.
I forget too, but
but
yeah,
he was like a hematologist in life or whatever, and he's making this artificial blood and shit. And
it was like Dark Knight. Dang.
Dun dun dun.
I know the movie. Dang. Daybreak?
Daybreak. Daybreakers.
Daybreakers.
That was a fucking...
That was a badass movie.
That was a pretty decent movie. I enjoyed that. Willem Dafoe was good in that.
I feel like it didn't get as much credit as I should have gotten.
No. But I think vampires and zombies and all that shit, they're all kind of old.
It was among, too many vampire movies already.
That was going like vampire zombie thing, though.
Yeah. Well, it was like a vampire virus, kind of perspective, where it was like it was
they're
a virus
infected.
That was taking over everything, and
the
they had to
just
do something
so
about
bad.
It.
Yeah, so.
That was
yeah.
an amazing take, though, to think that they build their own civilization and everything.
Right.
Like, they are the main population.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a neat plotline, a neat take on the story, and you know maybe it was released a little too late because by then everybody was kind of tired of zombies and beat up by the cute zombie that sparkles and
yeah,
or the zombie rather the vampire that sparkles and
Twilight.
You know you had a
they're the, even kind of ruining werewolves honestly
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because those wolves are kind of badass, but you know like underneath that they're just a bunch of like fucking fanboys.
See, you know, and it seems like the people who are really into the book are separated from the people who are really into the movies, and the movies kind of,
I think there's, like, the separation, like, because you have your chart, and then there's a lot of that group that are,
breaking
like,
out the flow chart.
The same
oh, the circle chart you're talking about, where
yeah.
the circles
yeah,
overlap.
Yeah, I'm guessing that, you know, there's some things that are going to overlap, of course, but it seems like people, you know, there's, like, this portrayal of this... young girls and the boyfriend thing, you know, where that's not where the books are really pointed at. And the way the storyline ends up going, like, my girlfriend was explaining all of this to me the other day, and I was like, wow, I had no idea that's what's going on, because I thought that this was this, you know, so I'm not paying a lot of attention to it, because I'm not a young teenage girl. I don't care about sparkly vampires or you know, the cute...
Why are they sparkly?
Wolf,
I don't understand.
You know, wolf boy and, you know...
I don't know, man.
That's
like,
just a bad plot.
I got a problem with Twilight because, you know, I'm like an Anne Rice fan, okay? Anne Rice did vampires right, and she did all the eroticism and the romance and all that. And this fucking Twilight series is Anne Rice light. You know, it's just... It tries real hard to be as epic in scope as the Vampire Chronicles, but, you know, straight up, like, Anne Rice did it way better than Stephanie Meyer can ever do it, and, you know, she can shut up with her stupid-ass fucking sparkly vampires.
Really called her out there.
I did.
Well, you might end up taking it back if you end up seeing the new one. Apparently, they're really opening up the story with whatever just came out.
Ah, they do that every movie.
Yeah,
I don't even care. I don't even care.
And that's the whole thing that I was kind of, you know, making a point of is, you know, you just get bombarded by enough of it, and it's like it already leaves a bad taste in your mouth when it finally, you know,
yeah, like
hits
Apple.
The climax. It's like, eh.
Yeah, see, that's like the end of the world. See, it all loops back around.
Now
a
you're just like
full circle.
Shut up. Stupid end of the world.
Yeah, no, still waiting, dude.
Still waiting. Yeah. Hey, I saw like something on Facebook at some point where it was like New Zealand just called and they said nothing happened, and it showed an alarm clock and it was 12 a.m. You know, and it was like sometime during the day. You know, what was it, yesterday? I think, or in the afternoon. I'm not good with math or you know what the time zones are, but I just thought it was kind of funny. He was like, "Oh, there is one place on Earth right now that, you know, it's 12:21:12.
So, like, it would start nothing's there going and on. Slowly, like, go around the world.
A black void that starts at that line of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already December 22nd.
I did
in
like
Japan
that 2012
Zealand,
movie,
so.
Though. I liked that. That was fun.
Yeah, that's a good time. John Cusack throws down at the hoedown for showdown.
I really thought that would be shitty, though, if, you know, that actually happened, because that's what I was imagining the whole time. I was like, this is what's going to happen. If it does, it's just going to be, like, giant fractures beneath our feet, and, like, it's collapsing inside of itself.
Or a black void.
Well,
that would be so shitty.
If
God, what a shitty death. Like, did you see people falling from buildings?
The kind of shit that, if the shit that, like, goes down in that movie goes down in real life, we in Colorado are fucked. Okay, because if shit starts happening, dude, Yellowstone Super Volcano is going to go off. And we'll be flash fried, like, instantly. Like, I don't think that, like,
we wouldn't
have a warning. Like, we would just be done.
It would be a quick, horrible death, for sure.
Yeah, it would be very, very awful.
You think we'd suffer, right? The only thing I'm worried about is suffering.
But there are a finite amount of things that are going to trigger that off. I mean, not just anything will trigger that off. You know,
I think End of the World qualifies.
I don't know. I mean, I think a volcano is going to go off if a volcano is going to go off. And a super volcano, you know, is just a big-ass volcano, and it's going to go off one day. And, you know, we may live to see it. We may not live to see it. We definitely won't live through it. But,
get some escape pods.
Get an underground mansion.
Yeah?
Yeah. Babu and Joe listeners, start contributing money.
So we want to continue to listen to the Babu and Joe show
after
the
apocalypse.
Broadcasting from underground.
We'll be the Fallout radio station.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be your Vault-Tec radio station.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
It'll be sick. You don't know about some Fallout, but yeah, I haven't been playing much Fallout because I've been watching anime and doing shit for
That's
the holidays
good.
And
I like
everything.
Like your taste in hobby.
But dude, I love me some Fallout.
Your time
I'm just about done. I'm just about done with my second run through Fallout New Vegas. Like the first run, I did the ending where you know I like just run everything myself. But now I'm gonna do the ending this time where I do all the monkey work for Mr. House and like kill off all the people he don't like and things like that. And yeah,
the merc.
Yeah.
So you can be the boss or the bitch.
Yeah, I'll be. I already saw the one ending, so you know I want to see what the other ending's about.
Yeah.
But there's like two other endings too. You can like support the NCR, or you can support the Legion, Caesar's Legion. And yeah, no, it's fun. I've been enjoying it. Also, since we last spoke, I got Assassin's Creed 3.
You did? For what?
For the PS3. It's pretty. Dude, I'm sorry. PS3 is a superior system. Assassin's Creed 3 is pretty sick.
Is it so fun?
So far, so good, man. Like, I haven't gotten very far in it, but
you have no idea, man.
This British guy,
so long.
What's his name? Like Hathan. Hathan is pretty fucking badass, dude.
Is he an assassin?
Yeah, he's an assassin.
You end up kind of going back in time to all different points through history.
Through the whole series,
Through the whole series. So your missions kind of vary through different points in time.
Dang, man.
There's like one point where you're supposed to be
that
like
so fun.
You're supposed to be eavesdropping on a conversation between George Washington and somebody else, and I ended up getting spotted, and you know, ended up just killing George Washington with you know this downward thrust of the knife, and it was kind of cool to just
don't kill the father of our country, Sean.
What's wrong with you? Chop down a cherry tree for us.
Yeah, man, motherfucker, he chopped down a cherry tree for your sins.
I wanted to take a bite out of history. Just wanted to take a bite out of history for once, you know, since I was discovered. I don't know. It just sounded like a good thing to do at the time.
Yeah, no, it's a cool game though. The history and everything is fun. Like, the mission I was fucking around with, before I came over here today was I was trying to find some papers for Ben Franklin. It's like one of the first missions you get, but after you cross the Atlantic from England. Shit's pretty sick, though. I enjoy the game so far. I haven't gotten to drop a fucking tomahawk into the back of anybody's skull yet, though, and I'm a little irritated with that. I want to fucking drop a tomahawk into someone's skull.
You should do it.
I'm going to as soon as I get the chance.
Oh, see?
I don't have a tomahawk
yet. You were
yet.
Judging what I did, and then all of a sudden you want to do the same thing.
Not to George Washington? Jesus, motherfucker. How are you going to do that to George Washington?
Because it's a video game.
If you kill George Washington, he can't found America. Then what are we? We're not Americans.
I really don't know how to respond to that. I just have no response at all.
We become Canadians or something, man. I don't know.
Beady little eyes and flapping little heads.
I don't want to do that to myself.
Moving on.
All right. What else you got?
We have flexible touchscreens coming up.
Flexible touchscreens.
2013, we're going to have flexible touchscreens. They're going to be like watches. Touchscreen watches. Like, the screen is the watch.
That's pretty dope.
Yes.
But I imagine the first few gens of the technology are not going to be grand. Well, I'll wait.
I'm not sure. I mean, it said it was bendable.
Yeah, but you have to wonder how reliable...
than a bendable touchscreen.
How reliable it's going to end up being.
Yeah. I'll wait until the technology's a little bit older and has worked out all the kinks. Then I'll get with it. Oh, dude. All right, check this out. I fucking found this out on the internet the other day. They are making, or they just finished filming Mad Max number 4. Yeah, dude. Mad Max is like the most awesome fucking shit from my childhood. Dude, like I wore the fuck out of those beta tapes. That dates how old I am, but you know, whatever, it's cool, you know.
Mel's gonna be in there?
No, it's not Mel Gibson.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like,
sounds
could be
like
interesting.
It could be something he would do, you know.
Yes.
He's a little nutty.
I think Mel Gibson's not popular anymore.
No, he's pretty hated, actually.
Yeah, since he decided
unfortunately.
To be a fucking
could be
drunk
his comeback.
Asshole.
Could be his comeback if he was involved, you know.
He tried that with this Beaver movie. Didn't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't watch
any the reason.
Beaver movie
probably
with
sucked.
Him either. But
sorry to dog.
No, they're gonna have Tom Hardy play Mad Max, and it is a continuation of Mad Max's story. Not
what's the last one? Was it Beyond Thunderdome?
Yeah, I think it goes what Mad Max, The Road Warrior, and then Beyond Thunderdome. Or am I fucking up the order?
I thought that was the last
Road
one.
Warrior and Mad Max. But Beyond Thunderdome is definitely the last one, thus far. But, I mean, chronologically, though, I'm not sure about those first two. But
way to put you on the spot, right?
Dude, we're not a credible news source at the Bobo and Joe Show. Our
no.
listeners know this. We've said as much.
At least they better. You may have ruined your life by now with the information you received here, if you don't know that.
No shit.
Just a possibility.
Like, someone just lost it, like, you know, Jeopardy, because of the information that they got from Bobo and Joe Show. And they're like,
damn it!
I'm gonna kill those sons of bitches! And they're misinformation.
No, make them look like an idiot on television. Sorry! Our bad. Yes. Kinda your bad, mostly.
But, oh, Charlize Theron is gonna be in number 4. It's gonna be sick.
Nice.
I'm excited. I'm super excited. It's gonna be released 2013, 2014.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so far away.
It is far, but you know what? It gives you something to look forward to after the apocalypse.
Mad Max is coming back. Is he wearing, you know, badass biker outfit? Or?
Well, yeah, it's got, like, the post-apocalyptic gear and stuff. He's got, like, some aviator goggles that he's wearing around his neck and, like, a big old, like, bulky jacket and shit looks all, like, tore up and worn out. It's the one picture that I saw of Tom Hardy in the Mad Max outfit, he looked pretty badass. I'm excited, dude. I really want to see what they do with it, and I really hope that they don't fuck my childhood like everybody else does whenever they remake something that I used to like as a kid.
It's okay, Joe.
No, it's not.
I know.
It'll be all right.
Let the pain of the past go.
I can't.
Sorry.
So Wikipedia confirms that Beyond Thunderdome definitely was the last one, or the, what could be considered the third one in the series. There was Mad Max, which spawned sequels Mad Max 2 in 81 and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome in 85, and then it even talks about the fourth installment starring Tom Hardy as Max.
Yeah, and it's going to be called Fury Road.
Okay, now that was Wiki, so like we said, we're not a credible news source.
And neither is Wiki.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're all
that sounded like it was probably right.
For the sake of argument, yeah.
But you know who's really trying to make a comeback? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I saw a movie trailer with that motherfucker in it. What the fuck is that guy doing, man?
I think the movie was called, again, not a credible news source. I think it was a Salvation, is what they're gonna call it. And he's like, I'm pretty sure he's a sheriff of a town. And he's like, he goes all badass, like heavy arsenal, like on their asses.
They already did that with Sylvester Stallone. What the fuck was the name of that movie?
Gang is trying to take
Copland or whatever. Oh, was that Copland? Was that what it
was? He did do Copland, and it seemed like it was a little bit past his prime for sure.
Yeah, like he's sitting there with like the beer gut and shit.
But you know what Schwarzenegger's angle is he's got to make that child support money. He's got that baby's mama.
Yeah, he's all like, now I got the extra baby mamas, so I got to get more work so I can pay all that child support. This is a bad day for me.
I didn't see this coming.
I didn't even know this was gonna happen to me in California.
I wish it was a tumor.
Where's John Connor? Where's John Connor? He owes me like $20. I need to pay my child support.
I'm coming over there with my Terminator makeup. Scare him.
Pay my bills if you want to live.
Dun, 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 dun.
Pay my bills if you want to live. Do it now.
Sign now. My Schwarzenegger impression leaves something to be desired, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's
definitely not anywhere.
Someone, come with a one-liner.
But I bet you do a really great Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No, I don't. I don't like anything from that show.
Oh, God, I love that show. I do love the Carl voice. Carl is good.
I have been hooked on a cartoon lately, though.
I like Meatwad.
And it is an anime.
Meatwad's awesome.
What's the show that you're hooked on?
Well, I've always been hooked on Initial D. I think I've talked to you at least, Joe.
That's a pretty cool one. I wasn't able to finish it.
You know, I've been into it since before it really got popular. I was having a hard time in the beginning trying to find, like, anything even with subtitles in it. I was watching, like, raw episodes back in, like, 2000, 2001.
Not able to know what they're saying. They're just like yelling in Japanese, right. And you're just watching the action like, I can pick up on this.
All I need to see is the cars doing their thing, and I can get an idea, you know. I've sat there and watched it so much that sometimes you swear you could understand the Japanese, you know, while you're watching it. But
you're like, oh, Kimo-sa. So sorry.
The way that I was, like, introduced to it.
Wow,
I
that was racist.
Yeah. I was trying to help
like
him recover.
Like a gingered bastard.
That's an actual line. That's shit you not.
Oh. Well, they're racist. Against themselves.
Moving on.
Not a credible news source again.
again, reminding everyone the disclaimer.
Yes.
Now, I wandered into an anime shop at some point, and they had a bootleg copy of Initial D, and I watched this kid heel-toe shift, and I'm a huge gearhead. So when I saw heel toe shifting in a cartoon, it was like, what is that? And I need to have it. And they would not sell it to me. I slapped a $100 bill down, and they just wouldn't have any of it. But they let me watch it from the counter, you know, as much as I wanted to. And I got home and looked into it. I found the manga, which you had to read backwards. It was kind of a neat thing, you know. Learning some Japanese culture, you know, being forced to do it, you know, inadvertently, but I couldn't put it down once I started reading it, you know, and I started watching it. They had like a stage one, which had 20-something episodes, stage two, which was like 20 to 30 episodes, and then stage three was a movie, and then Keiichi Tsuchiya, who's considered Drift King, Dory Dory, you know, in Japan,
mm-hmm.
You can find a lot of different information about this guy, but he's kind of iconic within the drift culture. He took over some of the creative control of the series in the fourth stage. So I was really excited to watch the fourth stage, and they put a lot more emphasis into, like, the racing and a lot more emphasis into the dynamics and mechanics of the cars and what they were doing. And I'm a huge car geek, so I love to geek out about cars, and that's all they did the whole time. and yeah, no, everything else was like side story. It was just, you know, but young tofu kid forced to learn how to drive when he was in middle school to deliver the tofu and not damage it while he was driving, and, you know, had the cup of water to not spill, and he was like swirling the water in the cup eventually while he's drifting the car around the corners. I was just really hooked on it, and once you get through the whole thing, there was like nothing. And I've gotten a lot of people into it, you know, over time, and, you know, gotten back into it, you know, but I've seen it all, so it's like you kind of, you know,
it's on Netflix, isn't it?
I think it's on Netflix now. Yeah. It's gaining some more popularity. They have it dubbed to English with a lot of it too, so it's neat that it's gaining popularity, but it's been out for a long time, so I just try to feed off of other people's enthusiasm as they get through it and they have all this excitement and wonder, you know.
That's like the mix of a CG animation in there, isn't it?
They switched over. I think it was like right after the second stage when they went to the third stage. I think they switched over to a CG animation.
Yeah, so they have like anime characters and scenery. It's just the cars are like CG'd in.
All the race scenes are like switched over to CG. And, yeah. And it's in some ways, some of the purists got mad about it. In some ways, it was better. Actually,
it seems like what everything is doing nowadays.
What are your feelings on the art style change?
I thought it was cool. I thought it was, I like the... So some of it they were switching back and forth, you know, where it was like they had some better detailed stuff on the interiors of the cars and the guys in the cars, and they were switching back and forth between outside the car and inside the car,
mm-hmm.
between like the drawing animation and the CG animation. But I find appreciation in all of it, so I didn't really think about it so hard as maybe some people did.
All right.
Something that the point of the whole thing and bringing it up is more recently I found out that the fifth stage was put out and that people are starting to sub it. It's only out to like I think the fifth or maybe sixth episode with subtitles, but really exciting stuff, like getting back into the story and stuff, because they, you know, recruited him through all of the main character Takumi, all of his friends his age just got their licenses, and you know, he's a star on, you know, his little mountain pass that he races on, and he becomes part of a racing team. And they go through the whole fourth stage, like him, you know, doing the downhill and the one of the brothers doing the uphill. And they race all these different people, and that was kind of neat. And, you know, this is like the continuation of what he does with that race team, it seems like, so far.
Nice.
Well, that's pretty dope, man.
But I was excited to see it. I've been watching it on my tiny little phone screen, like, oh, I can't believe it's out.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to get Dork all over my phone right now.
Right, exactly. Oh, I was ecstatic to see that they continued a little bit. So people are getting hooked on it with, you know, being on Netflix, maybe more people will start getting into it. And Wangan Midnight is the other Japanese part of the car culture on the highways rather than the mountain pass thing. They do the top speed thing on the highways. And that's a whole anime to get into, just checking that out. There's a car called the Devil Z. Kind of has some properties like Christine a little bit. That's like its own.
Oh shit!
Crazy little storyline.
Like a demon car.
That's anime. Yeah.
Dope.
But built by this guy that like everything he built and tuned to like its top performance has killed the drivers and stuff. Like this guy has a spooky way that he tunes the cars, and he ends up tuning
with a Ouija board.
Building into
and the blood of a virgin.
Something like that. There's always some mysterious part that was put into the car that, like, you know, the owner died like a week later in the car. And this car killed all of its owners all the way up until this kid gets it. And his name is the same exact name as the previous owner. So that was kind of neat, the way that they kind of do the plot. It's like real mysterious, the way that they did it. But, you know, you could still do the car geek thing with it, too.
Damn killer cars.
Damn, dude. That's a bad time. You gotta watch out for those. Look action. Both ways before crossing the street around killer cars.
They'll get you, man.
They'll fucking get you.
If Christine is any indication, anyway.
Yeah, no, dude. That book blew my mind when I was in.
Oh, it's time.
That car
school,
was just
dude.
In love,
it was
man.
Fucking great.
Car just wanted love.
No, the car wanted blood, dude. The car did not want love. It did. It did not want anything.
It wanted both,
to
man.
Do with that.
Some love comes with a little blood.
She was just like, psh, that bitch be trying to trip on my boy.
She did do that.
Yeah,
she did kill the main character's jealous. Girlfriend, didn't she?
No,
tried
to. Choke
tried
her
to.
Out.
Yeah, it was a bad
then
time.
Then she wouldn't get back in the car, and then it tried to
with
kill
a
her in the
fucking
warehouse.
Fucking hot dog.
Yeah, that's right. That was a bad time.
Choked
dude.
Her out with a hot dog. What
that's
hot dog?
Oddly sensual.
Right?
It is, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Like, oh man. Yeah, there's a. There's a lot of analogies.
Remember that time that you choked on my hot dog?
In the car.
In the car.
Fuck. Alright, so, being a comic book, anime, and video game show, we gotta ask you, about, some comics. We're gonna rap about some comics for a minute here.
Alright.
Across all the comics that you've read, or comic book cartoons, or movies, or whatever that you've seen, you know, what's your, who's your favorite superhero?
I think that it always comes back to Superman.
Superman.
And Joe, you know about this, because we've had extensive conversations which go across many of my friend circles of the Superman versus Batman.
Dude,
debate.
don't be talking no shit about Batman, dude. Batman could fucking own Superman in a minute.
Oh,
dude.
I could argue both sides of the debate because it's, like, so extensive.
This is
like
the Green Lantern, man.
Yeah.
Literally no one stands a chance against Superman. So, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, we had Darren and Christine on an earlier episode, and Darren was touting the Green Lantern, and we had a Green Lantern versus Superman debate, and I tried to defend Superman, and, you know, we decided that it ultimately came down to who struck first, I think is what
it really came down to.
Yeah, you know, but, alright, so why is it Superman for you? What does Superman do for you as a reader that, like, gets you going and saying, like, yeah, I need to fucking read more of this?
Just the way that it was, I think what intrigued me was the way that he was kind of surprised by it, you know, the way that he, just the powers kind of sprung up and, you know, that it was like an infallible kind of power, you know. If you're a kid and you're into superheroes, you know, obviously your friends are going to be into their own superheroes and you're going to try and pick one that may have attributes that, you know, in case it's mine versus yours, you know, I'm gonna have something there, you know. I guess there's some of that aspect to it. But just the way that the whole story ends up playing out. And I thought Christopher Reeves, you know, all the bad jokes that came out about him and you know, the unfortunate fact that Superman, of all people, was, you know, paralyzed in a wheelchair eventually, you know.
But Eminem made great songs about it.
Good God. the bad and cruel irony of all of that stuff, I think Chris Reeves really did good for that. And I saw, you know, the trailers for the new Superman and stuff, and I thought it's neat where they have some of the darker aspect of it, you know, and there's a new person playing Superman, and it's kind of like, you know, part of me is like, I don't know how I feel about that. But then if you go back and watch those old Superman movies and see how cheesy all of the graphics and everything was, you know, and how some of the storyline, you know, fit into a different bracket of society. It kind of ruins it when you watch it and you watch as a kid and you hold it in high regard and you watch it as an adult and you're like, eh.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like that for me. Like, Beavis and Butthead was a real big one.
Oh, God,
a
big letdown.
Yeah, I loved it so much as a kid, and me and some friends from my job a few years ago got together and we went to Blockbuster when you could still, like, walk into a Blockbuster and rent a movie instead of doing it all online and shit.
Rest in peace, Blockbuster.
Well, no, they're still online, but...
And so the legend says the M&M TV used to stand for music.
But, yeah, no, so we rented this, whole DVD set of Beavis and Butthead, and we were thinking it was just going to be so awesome. We got some drinks and everything. We were all about it, just getting, you know, settled in and everything. And we got about halfway through the first DVD, and we were like, oh, God, this is not at all
you wonder
as
how
awesome
you did
as
it,
I remember.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So
did you watch the new ones?
I have not seen the new ones. I'm kind of scared.
It got canceled. Like, you got canceled as soon as it came back.
You know, the same thing happened for me is I went through some of the older stuff and I couldn't figure out how it was that I sat there and watched it and held it in such high regard. And when the new one came out, I had no interest because it got ruined by watching the old one first.
Yeah, but no, the there's some shit, though, that's timeless from, like, when we were kids and shit, like some movies and everything. Like, The Goonies, I was having this conversation with some
awesome
friends the other day.
Shirt.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the Arc the other day.
Oh.
Yeah, a Goonies t-shirt. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's badass. What is it, like the movie poster? Or?
It wasn't a movie poster. It looks like the older t-shirts, like from the 70s, where it's got like the colored bands for the sleeves and around the collar or whatever.
Oh,
and,
okay.
It, something along the line that it was like, you know, property of the Goonies or Goonies Kid or something like that, but it was just kind of a silk screen on the front. not real complicated, but you could tell it's a Goonies shirt. Just to find a shirt that says Goonies on it that fits me, I was pretty excited.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Down a sweet deal, nonetheless.
Oh, the finds in the thrift stores, it's awesome. It's
remarkable.
I found this one. Tie-dye Yankee shirt. I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
Right?
I don't care for baseball.
Still, though, nice shirt.
Shut up, your face. Don't talk about my Yankees like that.
I'm sorry.
East Coast pride, you know, I guess. I don't know. No, I don't hold it in that high of regard. Unless you're a Boston Red Sox fan, then...
I can do problem. With or without baseball. It doesn't really, you know, tickle my fancy. Like, yeah. I can't just sit there and watch that shit, dude. Like, I can watch, you know, MMA. I can watch boxing. I can watch fucking football and hockey. Because, you know, like, if you blink, you know, you could miss someone dying. I mean, they'll replay the hell out of it, but, you know, you miss it right then and there. Or, you know, you miss just, like, some grisly fucking injury or you know, a hit.
You're
or
in
something.
It for the violence.
I'm in it for the violence. I really am in it for the violence. I mean, all of those sports that I just listed are, you know, all pretty fucking contact violent sports. In their own way. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's just, that's what I like. I like to watch people fuck each other up. And there's not a lot of that in baseball. I mean, every once in a while, but not too often.
My mind sometimes craves a strategy, but yeah, I guess there's not as much action as other sports.
Yeah, I don't watch basketball for the same reason. I mean, you breathe on a guy the wrong way, and they're calling foul on you.
Yeah,
and
whistle all the time.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, there's... But there's no... There's no contact, and it's just not interesting for me, I guess. That's really what it boils down
no
to.
No chance for blood.
Yeah, you know, and if there is blood, you know, someone's going to be a crybaby Sally about it anyway, and, right. You know, someone's getting free throws out of it, and that just irks me.
They're encouraging this bullshit?
Not the balance that you were searching for, right?
Yeah, like, this guy's sitting here, like, you know, wiping tears out of his eyes while he fucking shoots his free throw and shit. I'm sorry, that's just not for me. I probably just pissed off a lot of people that like basketball. But,
that's okay.
You know, really, I'm talking out of my ass, partly, and you know, partly, I just really don't like basketball, so, you know, whatevs. It's whatevs. I don't like NASCAR either.
No.
I don't think that's really a sport.
I think, like, I tried to get into it for the main reason, of course, the crashes. And you didn't get to see those, and when they did happen, it was more sad than anything. You were like, oh, gosh, I hope they're okay. But at the same time, like, in the moment, you're like, oh, that crash was so epic.
Well, I lean on the
it's
side
just
of...
the trade-off isn't worth it, you know?
No, definitely not. And I lean on the side of the debate of, you know, NASCAR is not a sport because you are relying on the abilities of a machine. No, it's not human aptitude, it's a machine.
I can debate that.
And you can debate that and say that, oh, it's the driver and you got to have skill to drive and this and that and whatever.
Have you ever seen Talladega Nights, man?
Fuck no.
I think that there's...
I hate Will Ferrell.
Cuts deep, man.
I think that there's a big misunderstanding between people and NASCAR.
Ferrell's a legend.
I really do. I think that if you're a racing enthusiast, then, you know, there's some place in your heart for NASCAR. Maybe you're into it, and maybe you're just a little into it if you're into racing at all.
Maybe you're Southern.
But what...
maybe your cousin looks attractive to you.
Southern Jersey Italian, no. What I think NASCAR really is it's the most... What's the word I'm searching for here? The most exciting part of racing is the pass. I mean, questionably, you know, cars are going to, you know, have the straightaways to try and pass each other, you know, but the equation that's involved with the braking and, you know, how much speed to carry through the corner, when to accelerate again, there's an equation that happens there every time. And, you know, consistency plays a part, strategy plays a part there. But with NASCAR going around in circles, like, what's the point? Ultimately, it's the chance for the pass in the corner over and over and over again. And if you don't play the right strategy, then you can't really, you know, make it all the way through. You know, it's not for the faint of heart, you know, so to speak, because you can't just jump into it and be good at it necessarily. There's a lot more to it than just driving in a circle, jumping in a car and doing it. And all of these cars are going to be so similar to each other because of the regulations that they put on them that it really puts a lot of stress on the driver and the individuality of that driver and their skill level.
The main part that bothers me is, like, how many laps they actually do. I'm like, is that necessary?
It's endurance. Oh, yeah, because if you don't have endurance, I mean, there's a lot of mental endurance and physical endurance that are involved with being able to do that.
But they need to be thinking about, like, does the audience have the endurance to watch all of these laps? I mean, come on.
You have to be a pretty big enthusiast, I guess.
They're high on the exhaust fumes.
I guess.
that's what keeps their attention.
When you go to an event, there's like a lot going on there. It's not just the race. There's a lot of vendors. There's a lot that's there for the experience. There's the infield. So, I mean, it's like going on a vacation or something. Yeah, it's like going to a concert. There's like a whole bunch that's going on there. So you're not just sitting there watching cars go the whole time. You're walking around and
getting
seeing
beer and looking at t-shirts and, you know,
yeah, talking. I mean, there's like a whole thing going on. They'll have like race simulators, and you can go sit in cars, and they have, you know, they have a whole bunch of different shit that
that's
you could
cool,
go
I
and
guess.
Do. But I mean, I just think
football
people
games.
Will see it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Now, I mean, I advocate all of that. You know, I have all these things to say about it that are all good, valid points. But I do have an analogy, you know, that's kind of a joke for. Or not an analogy.
Metaphor?
Well, I don't know if it's metaphor.
Or
a
simile?
A simile. Or is it the word NASCAR stands for something. It's non-athletic.
Oh, acronym.
Acronym, thank you. Non-athletic sports centered around rednecks.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's pretty funny. I like it.
I think monster trucks is the only thing I accept from them.
Now, so you don't like NASCAR with all of its complexity, and then you go to, like, monster trucks. That's really, really simple. It's just big trucks, horsepower, and smashing cars.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of endurance.
See, now I can get down on some monster trucks, man.
And there is
a
skill
level
for that,
too. Skill level for the monster truck, for sure.
But
like, how you're going to hit that car and how bad you're going to fuck it up. I don't know.
Well, I do like non-contact
sports. They don't operate like
well.
A regular car either. It's not just as simple as steering wheel and brake and gas.
Sport? You can't watch no ballet on ESPN.
Oh, there goes our ballet lovers.
No, I like X Games and like all the events, like, you know, like snowboarding and you know, Winter X Games obviously is snowboarding and all that sort of stuff. But like, you know,
like
the motocross and the fucking
is in there.
You know, the BMX,
I can't get
and
in the
skateboarding, all that shit.
Snowboard, skateboarding. I love that. Surf. Surfing is fucking awesome.
Do they have a surfing event in the X Games now?
I don't know. I just watch a lot of surfing.
Oh, okay.
They should.
They may have at one point.
Yeah?
Who knows?
I mean,
I don't watch X Games too often.
But the shit's pretty dope. Whenever it's on and I happen to be flipping through channels and I'm not committed to watching something else, I will definitely sit down and watch some fucking skateboarding and shit like that.
Dude, I have no interest in the Olympics, and yet, like, when it was going on, every time I flipped through and I accidentally saw that, I, like, got stuck on it.
I like the Olympics.
I ended up liking it, but like, I just don't have any interest in it.
It's hard not to like.
It.
It's hard not to like once you see it to like. That's the full potential of human beings,
like,
right there. They work so
it.
Hard to
yeah,
like
they're
get
at the
to
peak
where they're
of
at.
Their fucking field.
Yeah.
How could you not watch?
Exactly.
How could you not?
I guess it just.
Why not watch an expert do something that they're really good at? I mean, that's part of the human experience, I believe. Is, you know,
train your whole life.
Don't even
gotta
pay for it.
I think enjoying
but it takes a lot of
dedication. What they can do.
People
yeah.
sacrifice a lot to do that.
Yeah.
Going through all the training. I went and visited the Olympic Center down in Colorado Springs and saw, you know, how people do their training for a lot of the swimming stuff. And they had a lot of different things that they had going on from that facility. But as many people train there, you know, it's only a handful that actually go on to the Olympics, even from the Olympic Training Center. So it's kind of a neat deal, the exclusivity that they have involved with all that.
Yeah, and
I can appreciate it.
Yeah, and you get to, you know, have a little bit of nationalism, right? I mean, it's always fun for an American to chant, USA! USA! You know, that's good times, man.
Us against everybody else in the world.
Yeah, sometimes. When necessary. That's how we fucking do shit.
Oh, that's like a social hierarchy for, like, the whole world, I think. Because, you know, like,
much,
news
yeah.
sources in other countries, you know, like, if their team beats a certain team, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we might have lost in this war,
awesome.
But, you know, or we were allies of this one or that one, but look at the Olympics this year. Yeah, they get really into it, just like we do.
It's
yeah.
symbolic.
Yeah,
it
no,
is.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, frankly, it's exciting. You feel like you're kind of a part of something too, because you're like, you know, hey, I'm from a country.
We're on Jordan. Yeah. We carry the torch.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's cool. And I would really like to see... they were talking on the news recently about Denver making a bid for a Winter Olympics.
Oh, man.
Here inside of the next, like, I guess, like, bid. Four Olympic cycles. Well, yeah, you have to put your city up.
They've been doing it for a while now. Like, there's, like, a drawing that they have or something like that, don't they?
Oh, my gosh.
And Denver's been trying for it, like, over and over and over again for several of the Olympic events.
Yeah, but what you have to do is you put your city up and the Olympic committee votes on it and they determine where the next Olympics are going to be held, like, I think 2 Olympics in advance.
Yeah,
and then you can
like
make
that.
Your bids, like, ahead of time and things like that, and then they vote on it.
A lot of pre-planning, I'm sure, that goes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good for the local economies of wherever it goes and everything.
I think
like,
that's
they always build
too.
New buildings. And
it seems like a stressful time for, you know, wherever it is that they hold the events, you know. It's all over the news, and, you know, everybody seems freaked out. And
well, in this modern world that we live in with, you know, people doing acts of terror for no reason and, you know, just going and, you know, wanting to fuck with other people and things, it becomes a circus, you know. Like, it'll be interesting to see how Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, is going to be hosting the next Summer Games, I believe. And it'll be interesting to see how Brazil manages that on a world stage. Brazil not being known for, I guess, people's safety in their country. You know, don't watch Turistas if you're going to go down to watch the fucking Olympics in Brazil. Because that movie will
fuck you
up.
They have some things going for them in Brazil. They're dependent off of fossil fuels.
They're independent.
It's all corn
from
fuel.
Oh, wow.
Down there, yeah.
Well, no, I'm not saying that they don't have shit going for them. I'm just saying, like, you know, as far as security goes, I mean, America is definitely, you know, higher up on the...
No, they may be underestimated just a little bit.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes down. You know, hopefully, as always, I'm hoping that some jackass doesn't go out and, you know, try to fucking kill a whole bunch of people because they're fucking stupid.
They had the Olympics in Seoul, Korea, I mean...
Yeah, true. They had it in Atlanta. Yeah. And in L.A.
In L.A., yeah.
Yeah, shit,
so,
dude.
It can happen there. I mean, it opens up the realm of possibility, for sure.
Yeah. When they have the fucking Olympics in Detroit, we'll talk about this again.
Olympics in Detroit, yeah, yikes.
The day.
The day a whole bunch of athletes from everywhere all over the world disappeared and no one knew what happened to them.
They'd have to renovate some things for that to happen. They'd have to, like, build the city back up just to make something happen out there.
You know what Detroit fucking needs? Motherfucking RoboCop.
Motherfucking RoboCop.
Shh.
Yeah.
Not even a question.
Everything would be straightened out. Now, if he showed up now, it'd be too late. He'd just be looking around like, swinging his gun, you know.
Some fucking kids have
does.
Some fucking app on their phone to short him out and shit.
I've got an app for that.
RoboCop's so out of date.
Cease and desist, citizen. Ah,
GPS.
RoboCop all leaks fluids and shit.
Yeah,
at the end of the
day, having a robo seizure?
He has robolepsy.
At the end of the day, he'll be getting into his Ford Taurus police car and driving off into the dirty sunset.
He'll get vet benefits.
Vet benefits.
The fucking RoboCop's at the VA fucking just drinking his fucking sorrows away.
Cannot comprehend emotions.
No, I think he could feel, man. He was a man first.
RoboCop's so sad.
That's
no more testicles.
A movie for him to come back. All these comeback movies, or, you know,
yeah, they're
stuff. I doubt they're going to bring back RoboCop anytime soon.
I don't know, man. Well, they're bringing Judge Trun?
Judge Dredd?
Judge Dredd.
Yeah,
yeah,
they did that.
I didn't watch
year.
It.
I haven't
heard anything
seen it yet
on
either. But
the first one was Sylvester, wasn't it?
Scared to watch it.
Yeah, Mr. I am the law.
Yeah. This one looks pretty badass, though.
I think so it would be pretty cool. I'll rent it, but I didn't want to see it in the theater. I didn't want to pay theater prices. Chasing it on purpose. But I don't know. I think everything has been done already, and
that's true.
You know, you got to start branching out and including new forms of media.
They're not doing too well. They've been doing this for a while.
Recycling.
Well, like you know,
Pelham 123. You know that's a remake?
Yeah.
It's crazy. That was black and white.
Yeah.
That's how old that movie was.
Oh my god, I found something out recently that kind of blew my mind. I saw the original Shop of Horrors.
Oh wow.
It was black and white, like way before the Rick Moranis version. I don't know of the year right off the top of my
head.
Was
it a musical also?
Yeah, I don't know that it was a musical. I just kind of chopped through it real quick, to be honest. I didn't really watch it, but what drew me to it is I got it as part of the $5 movie bin collection at one of the department stores. I won't mention by name, but I like to get these collections of movies that, you know, it's like 6 or 8 movies that are on there, and it was all cult classics. They were all mostly black and white. And what stuck out was that it said Jack Nicholson on it. And I was like, really? Jack Nicholson? Little Shop of Horrors? Like, it was the original, I guess. And I kind of chopped through it looking for Jack, but he must have been so young, I didn't really recognize him right off the bat, so...
Wow.
Got to go back through that one.
Little Definitely. Jackie Nicholson, just like right. Little Ronnie Howard.
Something like that. Something like that.
Fuck. Damn, dude.
I had no idea. Kind of blew my mind.
As far as, you know, like, them bringing back, like, old movies and kind of, like, revamping them and shit, I do got to say that this year I watched The Thing in the theater.
That was cool.
That was pretty dope, man. Dude.
Especially the end with the animations and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Those transformations were wicked.
Yeah, those CG graphics were fucking amazing, dude. That shit was... I don't know, man. When I was a little kid, we had... the original The Thing with Kurt Russell on a VHS with some kids movie. It was like Winnie the Pooh or something on that, so I had to like fucking like fast forward through The Thing and see all that fucking horrific shit to get to Winnie the Pooh as a child. That fucking movie scared the hell out of me, dude. Like,
sounds like therapy.
It fucked me up bad, dude. Like, fucking, I didn't want to be in the snow, I didn't want to be around dogs, all kinds of shit when I was a kid.
What really messed me up was The Blob, honestly. That was a scary word too.
And It fucked me up pretty bad.
It was pretty scary, but, like, not nearly as bad as The Blob for me.
I saw It like and The Blob in the same week when I was, like, 7.
Body pulled through a tiny cubicle for, like, books.
Yeah, that's a bad day.
That was pretty shitty.
And then the guy that gets yanked down the sink, also a bad day. Yeah.
A little bit worse than the bookshelf, I'll admit.
Well, I see what the problem with your pipes is, man.
Seem to have a few limbs in here.
And I also know where your husband's at. That's going to be $5,000.
I'm going to need you to confirm.
I know you're good for it. Your husband just died. You got insurance, right? Fuck, dude.
My mom used to make me watch all those scary movies and then go to bed. It's like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. All right, you go down that dark hallway to your dark bedroom and go to bed.
Man up, boy.
dude, and like fucking... Oh, Poltergeist was another one that got me when I was a kid.
Poltergeist.
Oh, fuck, dude. That scared me. Like, I think, like, even now, like, as an adult, like, the spirit shit will, like, kind of freak me out more than anything because there's not anything that anybody can do about that. Like, some being without a fucking body just wants to come and fucking, like, throw you across the room and stomp on your nuts, it's gonna do it. It's just that, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. And that's why I think that particular genre is...
terrifying.
Yeah, terrifying, electrifying, thrilling. You know, it definitely...
Did you see Paranormal Activity 3?
I'm not into the Paranormal Activity.
Did you see 3? Did you see 3?
No.
Oh my god.
No.
I'm sorry, that one is great, dude.
I'm gonna have to invest some time for that one.
There's so much more physical.
Well, 1 and 2 didn't do it for me, all right, dude,
so
at all.
One scene, it's... Alright, you know the two
spoilers.
Sisters.
Spoilers.
Definitely spoilers. In the one scene, you know the two sisters, right?
Yeah.
So this goes backwards. So they're getting younger and younger. This is when they're, like, little kids, like, 7 maybe to 10. Mm-hmm. Not even. It's, like, 7 to maybe 9. And then, so this one scene, they're playing around upstairs, and the one sister runs along, and then the other sister's going to chase her, and all of a sudden she, like, boom, like, bumps into, like, look like she slammed right into a wall, but there's nothing there, and it's all on camera. And, she just backs up, and then slowly looks up, and as soon as she looks up to, like, a head's height, her long hair just starts, like, she just got snatched up by the hair, and she's levitating just by her hair and, like, being held up. And she's sitting there, like, kicking her legs and screaming.
That's a bad time.
Like, and it gets so much more physical. Like, the movie, you need to check it out. It's terrifying as shit.
But the series works in reverse chronological order, so they get younger every time.
Yep.
So
it explains more background story as it goes on.
So if it gets more intense and physical as they get younger, so basically if you watch the movies in the order that things actually happen, like, their adulthood isn't so bad as their childhood.
Yeah, pretty much. I suppose so.
Yeah, see, so there you go, kids. There's the lesson for today. Shit will fucking get better with your fucking spirit troubles as you grow older.
Yeesh.
Better times are around the corner.
Same way of thinking about it.
I got a question for you guys. Something that kind of just came up for me more recently.
Getting deep with us?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but maybe not. Gremlins. When that came out, you know.
Gremlins?
It was.
You got scared of the Gremlins?
No. I didn't in particular. But that's kind of the topic of the question that I want to ask. What? How old were you guys when you ended up seeing that?
Oh,
I was like 7.
I was 5, maybe.
So, you know, for me, I was pretty young when I ended up seeing it, too. I thought that the Gremlins movies were all pretty funny, and I thought they were neat. I didn't have a problem with them. I, you know, personally, I didn't get scared by them. I thought that they were funny. But then again, I was being exposed to things like The Blob and It and, you know, Return of the Living Dead.
Doesn't
and
really
Dawn of the
compare.
Dead. Yeah, dude, Return of the Living Dead, that was another one. I remember that one. Like, peeking between my fingers as a child, like, yeah. Watching it and trying to look away and not being able to, and, like, the, you know, the zombies are getting on the fucking, the CB radio, and they're like, send more paramedics!
Yeah. Ah! Talking zombies, yeah. I mean, it was like, that was the less of anything that could even be remotely close to evil. Gremlins was easy to deal with. I thought it was funny.
Gremlins
was like
2 was kind of scary. Gremlins
1... I kind of took Gremlins 1 a little more seriously. Maybe it's because I was an older child when, you know, Gremlins 2 came out. But Gremlins 2 didn't
scary
sweat
parts.
Me. The spider Gremlin was creepy.
Yeah, man.
There were some parts that I was like, oh, but it wasn't anything you couldn't handle.
No, of course not.
So,
but I mean,
we're all here
two...
today to talk about it. So.
right. We all made it through. And we made it okay. We were all relatively young. I'd have to say it was like 6 or 7 for me. So it was like 5 to 7 years old is when we seen it. You know, general consensus out of the three of us. Three boys, or 2 boys and a girl, that, you know, I wanted to show Gremlins to. I got excited seeing it in the store. 8, 10, and 12. And it was like, all right, Gremlins. You know, this is about the time of year, you know. It's like winter.
Oh, Christmas and shit,
and
yeah.
Stuff.
Dude,
yeah, you know, so I was like, yeah, Gremlins. Movie. And Nope, they don't want to have anything to do with Gremlins. They saw a part of that on cable at some point and thought it was just too scary and creepy, and it was like, what's going on? Like, really? You guys have a problem with that?
It's you younger know, generation, man.
Yeah, at one point I did this a similar thing with the same age group, actually, and but instead it was Jeepers Creepers, and that was such a mistake.
That's kind of a
that one's a pretty spooky
and
movie.
Like, and you know,
like,
the oldest one was 12 and was in charge babysitting. Like, there was no one else there at the home. Like, scariest sleepover ever.
No doubt.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, fucking sleeping with the light on.
Fuck.
Expose some kids to Army of Darkness.
They had pet snakes.
Oh yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with it, but snakes are scary.
Right? Yeah. That, if you like reptiles, you should be alright with this.
Yeah.
Why has it always got to be snakes?
No, right? Army of Darkness. Getting iguana or something.
Yeah. Dude, Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness worked out. There's like one part where, you know, the guy's about to kiss the girl in front of the Necronomicon. There's the double, the doppelganger, and he's like all undead and dug himself out. There's like a part where a topless girl goes by the screen, at the bottom of the screen. That's like the one questionable part of Army of Darkness. But these kids didn't want to have any part of it. Thought it was going to be corny. Can I go do something else?
It's
I'm gonna
supposed
go get on
to
the
be
computer.
Campy.
And I was like, you guys are going to hang out, and you're going to watch it, and you're going to check this out. So they sat there, and, you know...
You little motherfuckers need some culture over here!
And you guys are going to sit down and shut up your face.
You little bastards!
So they sat down and they watched it, and they got about, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes in, and you couldn't even move those kids off the couch. Like, there was one kid, you know, having to go to the bathroom and, like, trying to do the thing from Empire Records where, you know, he wasn't supposed to leave the couch and had one foot on the couch and, like, seeing how they might be able to go to the bathroom and still keep their eyes on the TV. The next day, in the morning, turn the movie on again so they could watch it again. And it was so funny how they were like, this is corny and old and I don't want to have nothing to do with it, too. They just could not stop watching it. Just, there were so many funny parts to that movie. They just, they didn't know how they went without it.
Bruce Campbell's amazing.
Right? Yeah, that's what I try to tell them. Bruce Campbell is the hero, and you're going to see why.
Yeah, man.
This is my boomstick!
Yeah, no, the fucking boomstick. Oh, God, dude. That whole fucking movie is great. And did you know that they're remaking Evil Dead? Or
I heard about that, and it has nothing to do with Bruce, and I was kind of disappointed to hear that. And I didn't have nice things to say about that.
I don't know. I'd still like to see it. I mean, I loved the original two Evil Dead movies.
Yeah, but it was like, wasn't it kind of his pet project anyway?
Sam Raimi's pet project.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I would like to see another sequel with Bruce Campbell, though. Bruce Campbell just does it for me, dude. That motherfucker's just, he's a fucking cool bastard.
He's got the right personality for that role.
Yeah, he does. Like, he doesn't take himself seriously, you know. He's just having fun, and you can tell. And it makes the movie fun to watch, because he's having so much fun.
That guy's a riot, I'm sure, to hang out with.
Oh, yeah, I bet he's just fucking awesome to hang out with. Or it's like, you know, Wayne's World with Alice Cooper, yeah. He's all sitting there telling you about Millie Wacke and shit.
Millie Wacke. I forgot all about that.
Which is Algonquin for the good land. Wow. Does this guy know how to party or what? Alright, motherfuckers. How deep are we into recording? What? It's 80, 90 minutes?
Yeah,
something like
minutes,
that?
Yeah.
I think we have a pretty good podcast here.
I do as well.
Unfortunately, the world did not end while we were recording, so we cannot listen to the end of the world for posterity's purposes.
Still dedicating this to the end of the world, of course.
Whenever it is.
Hopefully, this will be available for any survivors.
On iTunes or on the web or
presuming
you know,
something
a, anywhere, you
somewhere,
know, anywhere,
I don't know.
Somewhere.
Come
on
find
web.
Our burnt corpse. You have to.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, man.
However it ends up.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, if you got questions or comments, feel free to hit us up at the Bobo and Joe Show.
You can like us on Facebook by searching the Bobo and Joe Show, or follow us on Twitter at Bobo and Joe Show, or click the links on our Podomatic site. For Facebook, that's the Bobo, B-O-B hyphen O and Joe Show, or on Twitter is B-O-B-O A-N-D-J-O-E-S-H-O-W at Bobo and Joe Show. So there you go. Like us, follow us, do as we command. Mwah, ah, 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 ah.